Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. POC host of Revive. We alive right now. Wake up. It's Sunday morning, so you already know we got that beautiful Sunday morning talk ready for you guys, man. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We alive right now on Time for the Awakening. But you already know you can go ahead and click that link in my bio to take you directly to reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, that's Revive_POC. We'll be reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., man. So make sure you guys go spread the word, spread the message that we are alive right now and we are reviving your airways right now. And you already know that emergency contact number for you guys is 215-490-9832. Once again, that's 215-490-9832. And we already know we got some beautiful queens in the studio with me tonight. We got the Pisces flow, man. Oh, my God. Too much of them, man. Too much of them, too, in general, right? But, yes, we got your girl Tab Money and Harmony the Goddess as you. Jewel in the building with me, blessing these airways today on this Sunday morning. How you guys feeling?
Yes, peace, love, and light to the planet. Wake up.
Okay, you hype? Okay, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You can't bust their eardrums out. Lower it down just a little bit. You got to wake them up.
And talk radio. You got to wake them up. Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you, Psych now. What's up, Tab? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling peace, love, and light. Grand rising to the beautiful people.
Yeah, you already know, man. We feeling good in here. We don't got no incense burning this time, though, y'all. We don't got the incense. Oh, we do got the incense burning this time. I'm like, oh, yeah, slacking. Y'all slacking, man. Yo, I just want to recap our week right quick, man. Before we get started, man, I just want to recap our week. We had some dope time this week. We spent some dope time with some dope people, with some beautiful people, with some great energy, just flowing, man. Everything about this week was just extremely great. One, I want to say for me, I overcame something this week, and I'm just going to speak this affirmation for myself. Y'all, I went and took public transportation. It may sound weird, like this is what everyday people do. Yes, all of that, man. But for me, since I was 16, I have had my own vehicle. I've been moving. I've been driving. I've been working for it. It wasn't given to me. Trust me. I've been working for this, right? And this week, I had to take public transportation from my job all the way home. And it took about 2.5 hours. I was like, yo, but I did it. And it was something that just really like opened my eyes to a whole new, you know what I'm saying, situation for myself. Like, yo, you can really do so many different things if you stop depending on other people to take you here and there and there. So I'm like, yo, this is my time. Like, I got to make moves. I got to make money moves. I can't just be catching flights. I can get on a bus too. You already know. Who am I, right? I can get on a bus too. What about you, Harmony?
Yeah, so kudos to you, because definitely that's a big thing. All you got to do is ask questions, and you can get anywhere, honestly. But for me, I had a great week and great weekend also. I did my first little vending opportunity at episode 25. Shout out to Global Village with the Russell brand. Hey! So that was definitely exciting. Then I also did a vending yesterday for a bridal shower with some chair massages. So just to practice what I love to do. And every time I do it, I understand that I love it even more. Like, it just warms my heart, brings joy to me. So I'm going to keep doing that. So shout out to Harmony the Goddess, a.k.a. the Walking Incense, a.k.a. your soul food, not eye candy. Okay, so that's me. Just reach out to me if you definitely need a massage, because I got you. I got you. Tell me, how was your week?
How can they find you, though? Reach out to what?
Oh, okay. My bad, y'all. So you can definitely find me on social media platforms at Harmony the Goddess. Also, you can email me, harmonythegoddess@gmail.com. I keep it simple for y'all. Just know it's Harmony the Goddess coming through. All right? Peace, love, and light to y'all.
Yo, my week has been amazing. I've been on the road, back on road. I've been connecting with beautiful souls. Like, since the, I've been coming down from the high, from the full moon, from the 1-1, from the new year. Like, the portal's been open. We just had another on January 11th, like 1-1-1. Like, the portal's been open and the energy's been high. So, I just been riding the wave and just been connecting with beautiful, beautiful souls and spirits. And it's just been a journey and I'm just loving it. And that's like, we only like, what, 14 days in? And this is what it's like? Like, 2 weeks? I can't wait for the rest of the year. I can't wait for the rest of the year. So, yeah, let's get it.
Definitely, 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 man. 2 weeks. We 2 weeks into in 2018. I've been claimed it. I claimed it back in 2017. I ain't even gonna hold you. But to just feel, like you said, we went to the jam session this past Thursday, and the amount of energy in that jam session was amazing. Shout out to Global Village for the invitation, man. It was amazing. Russell Brand did our thing with the vending. We pulled out the vending machine on Thursday, man. We got mad love from the city of Philadelphia. So you already know people about to be walking around with that Russell Brand, that Revive, that CBE, man. Definitely, man. Make sure you guys stay tuned to that. You can also find that at CBElifestyles.com. Go ahead and shop right now at CBElifestyles.com. And it's coming very, very fast to ReviveIsAlive.com. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. Do not miss that. That spring line, man. Tad was just plotting on that, man. That spring line. Just know we coming with that fire. We coming with that fire. Definitely. And Harmony, you did your thing with the chair, man. You did your thing with the chair. I know you talked about it, but that you did some great things. Like, you were in a space where you were able to create your own space, and people were able to manifest in your space. So that was just like, you know what I'm saying, beauty to watch. Honestly, it was beautiful, beautiful to watch. And the connections as people was getting the massages and then getting up out of the massage, and then they felt loose and they just got up and their shoulders was popping. You know what I mean? They was doing it, moving to the left, doing it to the right.
I said start dancing. Everybody was just in there getting it, freeing up themselves and just vibing out and just like wanted that healing, wanted that vibrations just to connect with one another. It was awesome, 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 awesome.
But you know they messed up when they gave me the mic, right? I was like, what? It's my turn? Aw, you know what I'm saying? Man, I get her that mic, man, the energy, and I just felt it. I was like, you know what? Free up yourself. Free up yourself. And then next you know that, you and I, Ziwa, I was like, yo, I had to let him know. You and I, right?
You and I.
Because, man, we was connected. It was like me and you, you and I. We was connecting, definitely. So it was definitely an incredible, event. They're coming to D.C. February 15th.
February 15th, Global Village is coming to D.C., so stay tuned. We will have updates from Leonzo soon. So, yeah, go ahead, follow Global Village on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at GLBLVLLG, globalvillage.com. Check them out. Shout out to Leonzo. Spread love, peace, and light.
But another thing that I took from going to the village as well is that the connection didn't just stay in the village. You know what I'm saying? Just didn't stay in that space. Like, we all three individually and collectively walked away with some network. You know what I mean? That's creating some net worth. You hear me? So it was just, and then we even, all of us, based on what we did yesterday, because me and Tab had the opportunity to go into the Oshun concert. You went to, what was the name of the event that you went to last night?
It was High Life at Sibo Restaurant in Philadelphia. So that's just, you know, African bees dancing, just vibing out all night with beautiful people, definitely.
No doubt. But what I was saying was that, so we were able to take that and we were able to bring it and go to different places with it. Me and Tad, we seen about 3 or 4 different people. We're like, oh, you was at the jam. You was at the, yeah, what's good? The cameraman. He got some great shots, man. We got to make sure we get those shots, Tab. And then you were able to connect with them people there. So it was just like, yo, it just didn't stay there. And that's exactly what Leonzo is trying to do when he's creating that different space at the village, is so people can actually come together, because it takes a village. You know what I'm saying? Like, when people say that it takes a village, it really takes a village. You know what I'm saying? It really means that.
Yes, it really does take a village. And we just got to hold each other accountable and trust one another. That's why we got to get back to these free spaces where we can just come and express and allow for understanding and different perspectives to stand, even if we disagree. So, yeah, I just appreciate people like Leonzo, spaces like the Sound Hole, spaces like Revive Radio, where we can just come in and just, like, be free together individuals together collectively. And, yeah, everyone shines their light to full capacity, and it's all love.
But we definitely can't forget about the special guest who came through straight out of Atlanta, Georgia, Londrell, man. He put on an amazing performance. Love. Like, all he did was talk about love. If you're talking about love, that's exactly what his message was the entire night. He was just talking about love and how much, you know, if we truly love ourselves, we can actually love others. You know what I'm saying? You can't love yourself you can't love others until you actually love yourself. And that was what he was putting into each and every one of us that was there. And he did some poems. He did some covers. He came on a mic and jammed with us a little bit. You know what I'm saying? If you're so right, you know what I'm saying? So I really thought he did, with the meditation. Yes, definitely. So shout out to Londrell. We got a quick interview with him while we were there at the jam session as well. So that's definitely going to be coming soon on reviveisalive.com. So stay up to that. Make sure you guys stay up to date with that one. But also, last night, Tab, it didn't just end right there, Tab. Our vibes went all the way to the Oshun concert. We went all the way to the Oshun concert, 17 degrees on the bike, straight savage with it, man, straight savage with it. I was like, yo, Ted, we going to ride down. We ain't getting in no Uber, baby. We going to ride down tonight. Man, that was so liberating because I was with Ted. We was trying to do our thing, man. Yo, I'm...
You know I take public transportation and walk everywhere, so you to be the complete opposite, you know we with it. Like, we going to walk. Oh, you cold, you bet. Three layers, two layers up, bundle up. We commuters, so let's get it.
Shout out to that Kwanzaa gift from my mother, man. She definitely blessed us because she had me bundled last night on them bikes, man. I bust my butt. I ain't even going to hold you. So me and Ted, we turn it. We try to go to the store to get some water or whatever, right? We turn it. Yo, when I tell you, I fell on a patch of ice, not even...
She yelled out the ice, though. She was like, ice, water, like she in the front, like calling out the signals. Then next thing you know, she roll, boom, 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 just falling, boom, hit the ground. Me, I'm still trying to go, like I'm moving slow, like I can make it on the ice. This guy move slow, though. Boom, slide right off.
Off, man. The people in the car in the parking lot just busting out. I was like, yeah, I would laugh too. I ain't even mad at you because I failed, boy, on the bike, man. Good thing it was only me and Tab. No pictures, no cameras, none of that. I was like, thank God. They gonna run the tapes back in the CVS, though. They gonna be laughing at me. Yo, I bust my butt out there yesterday, man. But it was fun, though. It was definitely fun. We went up a couple hills. I'm like, yo, Tab, these hills. She was like, man, switch the gears, baby. Switch the gears. It was straight gear changing up all in heels last night, man. It was amazing.
Hey, it was so much love, so much fun, and like it's a cold summer for us. Like, we just having so much fun just staying in the present and enjoying the present moment, enjoying the now. And that's what I need y'all to do. Just stay present, like have fun, no worries. Why worry when you can pray?
No doubt. And then when we got to the Oshun concert, we met up with our winner because we did a raffle on Thursday at the jam, and we met up with our winner, Kenya, man. So definitely Kenya party with us all night at the Oshun concert. It was definitely dope vibe. She was definitely a great winner, man. Shout out to everybody who participated in that raffle. We truly, truly appreciate it. But yeah, so Kenya, she won. She met us up there. We had a dope time. We jammed out. We vibed out. Yo, the first artist who performed, that was actually Kenya's, one of Kenya's friends. Do you remember her actual name?
Messiah Blue, Messiah, M-A-S-I-E, Blue, B-L-U, Messiah Blue. Look her up on Instagram, SoundCloud, all that. Her music is dope, so wavy. Her vibrations are so high, like, the energy is amazing.
You was feeling one of the songs. What was one of those songs, man? What was that one song you kept playing it last night and this morning? What was that song?
I bang with Rules. Rules is lit. And Kundalini. Like, Kundalini is it, but Rules is my joint. Center your focus. Like, you got a head. Center your focus. And that's, like, that's been my goal for the last 2 years, is just, like, center my focus. Like, I was even watching the Iceman on Instagram, and he always walks through, like, Mount Everest in his underwear and, like, in the freezing cold. And they talk about, like, if you think about the cold, you're going to be cold. But if you focus, like if you center your focus, you're not going to be cold. You're not going to be as cold. So that's how they work on their breathing. They work on their meditation. They work on their focus to be able to walk through freezing climates in their underwear, like, and survive and make it through. So, like, that's why I love Rules by Messiah Blue. Like, it's so dope. Please go to her SoundCloud right now and get that energy.
But you gotta explain to the people what Kundalini means, man. Cause I was in it saying it wrong. He was like, "Nah, Tab put me on blast, y'all." So I'm in the crowd. The crowd get low. I was like, "Kundalini." She was like, "Nah, son, that's not it." I'm like,
"You saying it right now? Well, the way you said it earlier wasn't right, but you got it right now." So yeah, but Kundalini is basically the energy that flows through our body from our root chakra to our crown chakra and then back and forth. It's kind of like that serpent energy that rises. It's almost like serpent energy, chi, it's sexual energy. It's straight based off the sacral chakra as well. So yeah, just look it up. You can kind of see it in most medical symbols. It's based out of like African history, of course, but like I said, it's just the energy that rises from the root to the crown chakra, and it's that sexual energy that we need to be spiritual beings. And once you understand Kundalini, you'll understand sex and how it's a high vibration, the highest form of communication, and how good it is to the spirit. You'll understand Kundalini, and it's just like, yeah, you always want your Kundalini to be high. You want it to rise, baby. Let that heat rise. Kundalini is heat, baby. Get that fire.
Get that yoni popping, man. You better get that yoni popping. Alrighty, Tab over here. Give y'all some tips. It's only 14 days in, so if you still looking for something that you missing, you missing that good old Kundalini. You hear me? Missing that good old Kundalini. Yes, definitely. Just Google it, baby. Google it.
Everyone has Kundalini energy in their body. Like, it's your chi is inside of you, whether it's on the negative or whether it's on the positive. So you just got to focus on the rise of the Kundalini, which is the positive of the energy. Like, you need to stay balanced, yes, of course, but more so stay positive. You don't want the negativity to ruin it, because it's just like the serpent with a snake with the symbolism. Do you want the snake to be the grimy snake that do you greasy, or do you want it to be the snake that comes forth with health, forth in life?
I'm with you on that one. So make sure you take that tip and run with it. Go straight to google.com right now. Go Google exactly what Kundalini is. I said Kundalini. Kundalini. See, that's how I said it the last time. Kundalini. Tab was like, "Low and all that." Nah, that ain't it. When I tell you, like, three people just turn around and start laughing, I was like, "Yo, Tab, you go. You could have tapped me on my shoulder with that one, right?" You know what I'm saying? But I was Jah Low. I ain't even gonna hold you. I screamed. I let it be known, right? Definitely. And then you already know, man, the Sunflower Squad turned it up last night, man. They turned it all the way up. They dropped some new tracks from their new album, which is coming soon, Bittersweet Volume 1. So definitely shout out to Oshun, man. We were able to get a quick interview with Oshun too. I'm actually going to be putting that up on my social media platforms later on today, so make sure you guys stay tuned to that. Once again, that is Revive_POC Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And right now, if you're feeling the energy right now, we blessing your airways, make sure you give us a call right now, 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832. If you ever had an Oshun experience, man, we would love to hear you, man. We would love to hear you right now, how your experience went. They had a three-stop tour with the Bittersweet. Three-stop tour. It was amazing. They did D.C., they did New York, and then they did Philly last night. They brought it in. They closed it out with Philly, and it was amazing, man. They dropped that, "I be in the club, I be in the bed with my feet up." I was like, yo, man, oh, my God, just vibing. And then it was like blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings. When I tell you, it was so many blessings.
I keep a blessing on me.
Already, man, they did their thing. Tab was in there, man. You got to play this one, man.
Hey, Oshun, that's just like that great energy, that great music coming from millennials, for millennials, by millennials, and it's just great energy, like, for the spirit, for the soul. Like, you can feel it. Like, once you see their performance, like, a guy asked us, like, "Oh, we started following, I started following them, is the reason why I'm here." And I was like, "Do you listen to their music? Do you know his songs?" And he like, "Nah." He's like, "What can I expect?" And he was like, "It's a vibe." And me and POC was like, "Nah, it's a wave. Like, it's gonna be a whole wave. It's bigger than a vibe. So you just gotta catch the energy. And when you feel it, like, it resonates with your spirit. It resonates with your soul right then and there. Like, the lady's doing awesome, awesome job. And Proda, he be holding it down on the back, and the DJ turning up with him.
You already know. Tab, what you was calling it all night, man? You called it music just now, though. What kind of spirituals is it, Tab?
Hey, it's the Negro spirituals is what I call it, because it's literally, like, it's our Negro spirituals for us right now. Like, it's literally the music to revive the people. like where we are mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally in this slavery. So like, yeah, if you want your spirit to be high, if you want to feel this permanent joy, like if you want to feel this light, this love, and this peace, you got to listen to things that'll attract it. So like, yeah, Oshun is definitely that positive music that you want to listen to day in and day out, just to keep going through your day, to keep pushing. And yeah, they on Viceland too. Like, they even let you know, like, if you don't want to listen to the bittersweet, you can listen to it on Viceland too around noon. So hey, blessings on blessings.
Yes, man. Yes, indeed, man. They killed it last night. Their energy was high. Their vibes was high. Their crystals were popping. Oh, my God. They had the crystal bra on last night. It was amazing. I mean, like, the copper wire that designed out with the outline of the design of the bra was honestly truly beautiful. And then they just had like crystals just surrounding their areola. Like, it was just amazing, bro. It was amazing. It was amazing, amazing event. They had like a TLC mixed with, you know what I'm saying, some chakra like vibes just going on. Like, it was just honestly truly amazing. They had the sunflowers on deck as well. They was giving sunflowers out to the people in the crowd. They were, you know, giving out kisses because of bittersweet. They were saying, let me give some sweets out, man. It was honestly amazing. They vibe with the crowd. Of course, it was only right. They did a Jilly from Philly cover. So that was only right, man. It was amazing. That was just a dope event. And one thing that I also took from that was I never saw them perform Not My President live. And everybody was waiting on that. Just like Tab said, we were talking to the young man. I also asked, you know, another young lady who was biased. I was like, so what are you here for? You know what I'm saying? What song can't you wait to hear? And she was like, Not My President. I was like, why? She was like, because I'm free. I've been free. And when they dropped that, it spoke everything to me. And I was like, yo, Not My President. And when I tell you they dropped that, it came on. It was live. People was rocking. It was extremely dope. It was dope, dope, dope. And another scene, I'm not even going to tell y'all the whole concert because I want y'all to go. But I'm feeling it. I'm trying to tell you. I'm still in that room right now. But one thing that also just stood out to me, right, they had the whole junk go pitch black. Pitch black, and they told us to light our phones up. And the amount of light that came through the room is what they were trying to tell us. Like, we are the light. You know what I'm saying? We are the vibrations. We are the frequencies. Like, we are the, you know, the electric lights. We are what we need right now. So that was just dope how they explained it with the visuals and everything. It was just dope how they round it all up. So definitely stay tuned to that quick interview. It's going to be coming up on revivalsalive.com really, really quick, really, really fast. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. Make sure you guys go to that link in my bio at revive_POC, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm also going to be putting up a little snippet of it today on the social media platforms. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. But we do have a jam-packed show for you guys today, man. Thank you, Tab Money. Thank you for Harmony for that, man. We had to recap real quick. We had to let the people know how we be moving out here, man. Our 7 days is not a normal 7 days, man.
I do more in a day than people do in the whole week. And I do more in a week than people do in the whole month. And it's crazy. Like, some people be like, yo, son, I don't know if I'm be able to do this. I guess I can do this. I'm like, son, what you mean? Like, I did this, and this, and 24 hours, 48 hours, and I didn't complain once. Like, I just did what I had to do, and I got it done, and I still had fun, and I made money on top of that. So, like, it's, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice?
Yes, definitely, man. And people don't even understand that. You know, social media makes it look fun. Social media makes it seem like we just be partying. It's fun, yes, because it's fun because we're now celebrating what we started. We're celebrating, you know, what we did to get to where we are. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's fun. It's like, yo, we can celebrate now because we put in all the hard work to get here. You know what I'm saying? So the work that they don't see is the behind the scenes. And I'm not going to preach to them because I know they have heard this speech time and time again. But you see, I was just about to say, I'm going to show them more than I'm going to tell them. When I tell you we put in this work, I just told you we rode bikes, 17-degree weather, to get to where we had to go. You hear me? Like, we had to make it happen. And it's not about, you know what I'm saying, rushing it and trying to get it now. It's about allowing it to come to you, allowing it to manifest to you, but you still have to go after it. You still have to work for it.
Using what you have, using the resources of what you have right now, to get what you can do right now. Like, you can only can control what you can control. So focus on what you can control, and the resources that you have right now, use them wisely. Use them wisely to your capacity now in the moment until you grow, and then you'll be able to take another step forward. So yeah, continue on, keep going.
My little advice based on what Tab just said is to definitely write it down, manifest it, and speak it out loud. Speak into existence.
They say it all in the Blessings on Blessings, like just a little snippet, like the first 30 seconds, and we were like, whoo, like you is a power punch. Like we out here, that's the savage. Like this spiritual wave is the savage wave. Like you going to get it, and we come in at your throat is the reason why we calling it savage, because you need this positivity in your life. Like you need it. You need to shift. The whole, the globe needs to shift. The universe needs to shift, so... Yeah, Russell Brand, Oshun, Messiah Blue, Global Village. We got this positive shift. Londrell, we all a part of this positive shift, and we coming at your throat. So it's savage time, all 2018.
Definitely, and I love how you said we shifting. Like, and we're even shifting the definition of savage, because when people think of savage, they think of, you know, straight killing. You know what I'm saying? No, we thinking about just straight energy, straight blessing, straight vibration, just straight savage with it. We going right to your neck, as Tab Money would say, man. But like I said, we got a jam-packed show for you guys today, man. We have three special guests coming on, but our first guest coming on is someone who pretty much ideals what we were just saying. You know, he's a motivational speaker. He's also someone who has researched different cancer projects and things like that. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming onto the platform today?
Yeah, so we have Kevin Stonewall. He's a 23-year-old cancer researcher and health advocate from the South Side of Chicago. He is committed to sharing his research and medical knowledge with all members of society, especially those from poor and underprivileged communities. He has given a TED Talk and has been featured on BET, USA Today, and other many other media outlets, definitely. So when Kevin is not in the research lab, he travels around the country giving motivational speeches to inspire, to motivate the next generation.
Yep, so right after this quick commercial break, we'll be speaking with Kevin Stonewall, so make sure you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. It's me, your girl, POC. Stay locked to Revive Radio. We reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today. It's me, your girl, POC.
You want to stop me? You won't have to kill me.
Count on it. You're not going anywhere. I own you.
I don't play.
Now playing.
What the fuck is you talking about? Like, what the fuck, dog? Like, I really do this shit. You know what I'm saying? I really gotta live this, breathe this, be this. Prayed up to my days up. Blessings on blessings, like, I'm on the path, I'm in my God body, nigga, do the math, and I take a bath in the water, I know I am the daughter of the river of the moon, blessed by ocean, and bittersweet is coming soon, you can cop that shit on iTunes or P-Vice at noon, I'm focused, everything will manifest because I wrote it, I'm hella sweet because I spoke it, notice, I am the sugar, honey, icy, you fake niggas is fructose, you heisty, I'm a be a high priest, you can be a high beast, keep fighting yourself if you want to, I'ma keep it humble, he called me his bumble, stay buzzing up my feed, calling me his queen bee, I'm like chill Lord homie, I'm just trying to preach, this the gospel, he like boo I got you, I know you a queen, I'm just trying to tune my chakras like... In the bridge with my feet up, you be moving slow, need to speed up. I got holy powers like I'm Jesus, born out of sweetness, I be the sweetness. Since the infant man, I knew I was the shit. Great grandma died of Alzheimer's, but she knew.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness. POC. You know what time it is. Yep, yep. You know. know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We back live right now on Revive Radio, man. Make sure you guys tune in and spread the word. You can go to reviveisalive.com. Once again, you can go to reviveisalive.com. We reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today. So make sure you guys spread the word. That emergency contact number while we reviving your airways, of course, is 215-490-9832. But we're going to go ahead and jump in with our first guest today, Kevin Stonewall. Kevin, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning. Good morning, Kevin. How you feeling?
Good morning. Good morning, y'all. I hope everybody doing good this Sunday morning.
Great, man. Kevin, I'm excited to be speaking with you, man. I love the work that you're doing. I know we went ahead and introduced you, but I would love for you to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Definitely. So everybody who's listening, I'm Kevin Stonewall. I'm 23-year-old health advocate from the south side of Chicago, motivational speaker. And also on the side, I just work with a lot of other millennials, help brand themselves and help, you know, put them in a position that's going to help them be successful in the future.
Awesome. Coming out of Chicago, how does it feel coming out of Chicago doing the work that you're doing?
It feels really good. It's honorable. Just because I just know the hard work that I've been putting in. And, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And I know all those components of Chicago made me who I am today. So it's definitely honorable. And whenever I'm out there putting in work, you know, I have Chicago behind me, rooting for me to do this. So, feel good.
Did you start your business in Chicago, or did you start it while you were at your school, your college?
I started my research. Yes. Are you asking? Mm-hmm. Is that a question again?
Yes, I was saying, did you start everything that you're doing while you were in Chicago, or when you got to college?
Yeah, I started in Chicago actually when I was 17. That's what I started. I started at this hospital called Rush University Medical Center. It's funny about how I got that internship. I ended up emailing about 200 lab professors, applied to so many internships, and everybody told me no except for one person. His name was Dr. Carl Ruby. And, you know, once I got in the lab with him, that's how everything started. So big shout out to Dr. Carl Ruby for giving me that chance and believing in me.
Yo, Kevin, man, don't you just love them no's? I love when the no's come. That just makes me go harder, right? Just makes me go harder because I know someone's going to give me that one yes and that opportunity, and I'm going to score. And then you're going to be mad that you told me no. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I agree with you. Like, it's another motivating factor for you to just go 10 times harder. It's a humbling experience, but also that, you know, the work don't stop, and I'm just going to keep pushing because I know that I'm going to be real great. And you got to believe it, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like you were saying, like, don't believe the no's, turn them no's into yes. And like turn them nose into more motivation. So,
how has your research grown over the years since you first started when you were 17?
Yeah, definitely. Starting at 17, for those people who aren't too familiar with my story, I worked with using tumor vaccination to try to create an anti-tumor response against colon cancer. And since I transitioned over to college, I then added on two pediatric cancers. So one, osteosarcoma, and it's a cancer of the bone, and also neuroblastoma. It's a common pediatric cancer found near the adrenal gland in children. More so using those and using allogeneic bone marrow transplant to also measure the anti-tumor response. So a lot of my work is under cancer immunotherapy. And just by definition, cancer immunotherapy is generally using your body immune system to fight off cancerous pathogens.
Wow. And what made you actually want to dive into this? This seems like something, you know, especially, you know, being 17, being young, coming out of Chicago, it just seemed like this is just not something you're supposed to be thinking about. I'm happy that you were thinking about it. You know what I mean? We need more young people like yourself. But what made you actually want to dive into it?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it's funny because I always say it started when I was 10, when I first fell in love with science. So we was in fifth grade. We was like playing around with the microscopes. And I fell in love with I've never seen a microscope in person before. The only time I've seen a microscope was on that cartoon. You remember that cartoon, Dexter Laboratory?
Of course.
It was on Cartoon Network.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so that was, you know, that was the only idea of what a scientist was to me. And I just really, really loved that show a lot. So when I saw the microscope, I asked my teacher, like, what do people that have microscopes do? And he said, you know, they say lies. They like to solve problems. They like to challenge the norm. And to be honest, all those things resonated with me because I was always the type who, I didn't really, when somebody would tell me something, I always questioned it. I mean, sometimes it did get me in trouble as a kid, but also, you know, it was just those things, those scientific inquisitive skill that I just built over time. And even my freshman year of high school, and this is when it really popped off. I had a friend whose uncle passed away from cancer. And, you know, just understanding like how impactful it was on him economically, psychologically, emotionally. It was so many different factors. It got to the point where he wasn't even the all-A student he was anymore. He's not, you know, he started not coming to class. And I just knew something was up. And I asked him what was going on. And he let me know that some of his family passed away from cancer. And honestly, at 14, I really didn't know too much about cancer. You know, I just heard about it, like the family reunion. I heard, you know, oh, yeah, he has cancer. He passed away. But I never really understood until I went to Google and I typed in, what is cancer? And then from there, I learned about the uncontrolled cell growth that ultimately leads to tumors being formed and thus forth. And from there, I also Googled, how do you stop cancer? And I researched, hey, you can donate to these advocacy programs, and also you can actually do research in the lab. And at the 14, I didn't really see, I don't have any money, so I can't really donate that much. But I could definitely try to do the research at some point.
Yes.
And I just kept doing those science fairs. And it's funny because we talk about turning no's into yes. My senior year high school project was my initial research. And every year before that, I got denied in my science fair. So I mean, that was motivational factor as well. And it was just always like this constant motivating factor to do something bigger than myself.
That's love. And 9 times out of 10, though, Kevin, it's always, mm-hmm. 10 times out of 10, it's always bigger than you. Your purpose is always going to be bigger mm-hmm. than you, because you, when you're walking in your purpose, you're touching so many different lives around you. And that's what makes it bigger than you, because you're now, doing things for others, not just for you anymore. You're now, doing mm-hmm. things for others. People are expecting things from you, expectations mm-hmm. become very, very high. So definitely, I agree with you on that one. And you broke down the definition of, cancer, and then also you broke down the definition of how you stop cancer. But what about colon cancer specifically, because that's something that you went to study at first. Mm-hmm. So what is colon cancer?
Yeah, so colon cancer is really diagnosed. But first, to start off, I think everybody should get the colonoscopy. I think that's one of the main things. And one thing that's unique about colon cancer is a lot of those polyps are formed due to multi-step tumor genesis. And by definition, that's basically when you have a polyp, and a polyp is a non-cancerous. It's like a really like a blob is growing, but until it becomes cancer, that's when it become really deadly. So that's why it's really important to get those screenings, just because you can eliminate those polyps before they become cancerous. So those, they pretty much form in your colon, and from there, that's how it through the various factors, such as poor diet. It could be even genetic. And all of those factors are really important, how colon cancer at least is being initiated. But in order to even stop it from the beginning, getting that colonoscopy is so key. Because once technology now, we can do it. We have the medical advances in order to stop it. But for those who don't get checked out, and that's when my research comes in hand, because that's ultimately what I've been planning to do.
So that one thing that you said diets, right? And that's mm-hmm. one thing that truly bothers me when it comes to cancer and other medical situations, is that I feel as though, and this is just my opinion, my opinion, and others can definitely disagree with me, but I feel as though your diet is what creates, those medical conditions for yourself. And I don't think, medical conditions are passed down. I think diets are passed down. And when the diet is passed down, that's when the disease keeps coming up and up, because mm-hmm. of the family situation never changed, because you guys never stop, eating the bad food. You guys never stop to mm-hmm. think, maybe, this is the problem. Maybe eating too much pork, maybe eating too much beef, not enough greens. So I think that diet is the main mm-hmm. cause, but that's my opinion. That's definitely my opinion.
Definitely. I mean, and I agree with you 100%, it's funny about the whole thing with cancer. It's like, the one thing's like this real cool puzzle that the world, we always are constantly trying to figure out, and it's funny because it there's not one answer, it's always a mix of things. And I think that's why it's really complicated, really trying to cure it at large, because like you were saying, diet can be passed down. That's a really important factor, especially if you break it down by culture. If you think about African Americans being one of the leading groups that are being affected by colon cancer the most. And think about what we traditionally eat in our culture, and see how does that possibly play into it? Because that's honestly something that we do need to evaluate. Because compared to other cultures, so I agree with you 100%. And it's just cool. It's not cool in a good way, but it's interesting, the puzzle of really trying to connect the diet to the genetics, or even to you know, the cancer research aspect of it. It's like, it's so interconnected. And that is one of the best things I like about the question around cancer, because it's not just one, you know, black and white answer. It's so, so interconnected.
But I really hope one day it does become, you know, a generic mm-hmm. black and white answer, because I do think it's something that can be stopped in that spread. I think, mm-hmm. you know, people are so hype about, you know, not the prevention of cancer. They're more hype about the cure of cancer. And that's what bothers mm-hmm. me when it comes to cancer.
Absolutely.
I think if we spend more time, you know, on the prevention, we won't mm-hmm. even have to think about the cure.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because the researchers, we like to say that, you know, fight cancer to prevent it. And that's an actual thing that always the doctors would say. You have different researchers, because once you have cancer, you know, it's an uphill battle. But it's always, like you said, it's always easy to prevent it, you know, and change up your lifestyle. Now, once again, diet is a big component of that. And that's just like you said, I honestly thought that's one of the best ways you have to pay attention to what we eat and all those other aspects.
No doubt. And I think as this next, you know, generation comes about, we will see less and less of it because we are, you mm-hmm. know, going a little bit more plant-based. We're going, you know, vegan, vegetarian. Yep. So
exactly.
I think we will see more and more, you know, it's going to start to decrease, I want to say. I definitely think it's going to start to decrease because we are aware and we are woken to the situation. And I wanted to ask
Absolutely.
You this last question before we wrap up. We'll actually have two questions. Mm-hmm. But my first question I want to mm-hmm. ask you, how do you feel about vaccines? Because I also, and this is, once again, this is my far-fetched way of thinking, but I also mm-hmm. think, you know, vaccines, because vaccines are pretty much where people are giving you the disease, so just to see if you're mm-hmm. able to fight it off, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So,
yeah, so
how does mm-hmm. that play a part into it?
Well, in terms of like cancer, I like the idea of tumor vaccination because so far it's been proven to be pretty effective. And even if you look at the long term and that, you know, after treatment with the, even in my experiment, like after looking at, after I gave the mice the vaccine and the tumor went away, they had no more cancer. So, in terms of like tumor vaccination for cancer, at least. That's what I'm trying to show. Show them that, hey, this is an effective manner. And it's a little bit different than, like, the influenza vaccine. And more so because using your body to fight off of a disease that is really happening because of a malfunction of its own body. So I think that's a way that is a little bit different than a flu virus. Because cancer, once again, is coming from us, coming from our body. Our body creates this cancer.
Thank you for putting that into my mind, because now I got to do more research off of that based on your answer, because it's definitely something. When it comes to these vaccines, man, I'm like, yo, why? Just where did this come from? It just started in the early 2000s. Like, all of a sudden, everyone just needs a vaccine. Before you go to elementary school, you need a vaccine. Like, why my child can't mm-hmm. just go to kindergarten? You know what I'm saying? But yes. So also,
yeah, no, for real.
How do you spin your motivational speaking into, you know, how do you tie it into as you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. your researching, and how do you tie that into, you know, motivational speaking and being, you know, so inspiring to other people who look just like you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a big message, like, I go around and I tell a lot of people about my story, and I let them know the reason why I was able to make these strides so far in my life, because I'm passionate about it. So I want to, like, I really like to go out to anybody and really show them, like, find that one passion, take that risk. Don't be afraid to fail, because that's what's going to build you stronger. And once you find your purpose, once you find your passion, then you know your purpose, like we just said earlier. And that's what I'm so big on. I want people to not be afraid of hearing the word no, because that can be that one no can open up to a bigger yes. You know, that's what it means. That's like the lifestyle and the philosophy that I always carry in life. So whether it be, I know I'll tell you, even have different sessions. So it'd be a session where I talk to people about personal brand, you know, how you display yourself to the public, and how that actually sometimes perception could be reality in somebody's eyes, and how you can put yourself in better position so that you can have more doors open to you in life. I'll have another session called Finding Your Passion, where we kind of dissect your life and I show you some of the attributes that I did in my life that helped me find my passion. And those are like two of my bigger workshops that I do, and I love it. I really love it a lot, and a lot of people, I've been getting a lot of good feedback on it.
Definitely, man. I appreciate that one because people need to find their passion. People need to find their why. Everyone has a why. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a gift. Mm-hmm. You just have to find it. You got to find that energy inside of you to actually pull
Absolutely.
It out. And then once that fire starts to burn, Kevin can be a witness to this, man. It does not go out.
Yeah.
That fire does not go out, definitely. But we had a question on Twitter. Before I let you go, we had a question on Twitter, and someone mm-hmm. asked, do you research based on gender? So do you – so I'm just going to break it down because they said, do you research based on mm-hmm. gender? So what I interpret was, do you do research differently than what you would do for a male and a female?
At this time, no, I haven't. I did male versus female. That is actually a good point to even look at moving forward. I know, for example, when I worked with colon cancer, I did work with all male mice. But more so just because that was a supply of mice that we had at that time. You know, if you talk about funding, like that, it played a big part. So that I had to work with really what I had. It just in general, just because I'm still like young in the game. But definitely moving forward, like gender, thinking about how that plays. In terms of like those, I only did like age, for example. So I did like younger mice versus older mice because I was curious about how does age plays a role into it. But I mean, that's a good aspect to even think about, like the gender aspect. That is something I want to do pushing forward. I'm giving the proper funding.
Definitely, man, because I want to know that answer myself. I definitely want to know that answer myself. And then, yo, Kevin, before we let you go, I just want you to go ahead and mm-hmm. give yourself a shout-out, tell the people how they can find you, how they can listen to some of those motivational speakers you've been dropping. Go ahead and give yourself mm-hmm. a shout-out.
No, thanks. So for everybody who's listening, you all can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at that Kevin Guy, thatkevenguy. So I'll let you know Instagram kind of behind the scene, what I like to do for fun. I'm just kind of seeing Kevin behind the research lab, out of the research lab. And then on Twitter, a lot of my motivational aspects, you get a lot of motivational tweets. And I don't know, I'm pretty connected. So reach out to me and we can just have good conversation, good vibes. And that's what I'm here for.
Definitely. And you got a little model in you too, Kevin. Don't go be shy, man. You got a little model in you. I checked you out. I'm like, all right. Look at that.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And one last thing. I love how you said Twitter, man, because I am a Twitter fanatic. People be trying to hate on Twitter. People be trying to hate on Twitter. You said Twitter first. Most people like, my Instagram? Like, nah, it's about Twitter. Mm-hmm. That means you can put
words,
you put a sentence together, you can create a thought within 140 characters. I hate that they went up to 280, though, man. It's like a paragraph.
I know, that's way too much.
Yes. But Kevin, I wish you many blessings on your future endeavors. I want to connect. I want to continue this connection. I'm definitely. Are you stationed in Chicago right now, or are you somewhere else?
I'm up in Madison, Wisconsin right now, but I move back and forth between Chicago and Madison a lot. So I'm pretty mobile. I'm always on the move, but, you know, I'm open. I'm always open.
Definitely. So I'm definitely going to try to connect with you. And please stay on the move, man, Kevin. Stay on the move because what you're doing is what we need right now. And you know, being a millennial, we're definitely going to soar. So I appreciate you, and thank you for coming on Revive and supporting us today.
Thank you, everybody. And stay blessed. And remember, y'all passion, love, and love is passion. The only person that's going to stop you is yourself.
No doubt, Kevin. Way to end that one, man. Have a great week.
You too.
That just wrapped up a dope interview with Kevin Stonewall, man. He's doing some amazing, amazing things. Make sure you guys go check him out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram right now. We do have our second guest coming up, too, man. She's doing some amazing things. She's trying to keep your head right, keep your head tight. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all head cold. She got some hats for y'all that's going to keep your head warm and your head tight. And lay down to the side. What they used to say? Fried, died, and laid to the side. That's what they used to say, man. So I'm excited to be speaking with her as well. She's coming out of D.C., the hometown. So I know this is going to be a great conversation. So definitely shout out to both of them, Kevin Stonewall.
Kevin Stonewall. And next we have Scott's Hat, which is a small business out of D.C. for two sisters, Cozy and Zay.
So I cannot wait to be speaking with them. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, you'll be up next with Meet Your Girl POC and our next guest. Make sure you guys give us a call. That number is 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Yes, my raps are filled with rage.
One of these days, we got to bust back for the homies.
You have to be logical. You know, if I know that in this hotel room, they have food every day, and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door, let me see the party, let me see like them throwing salami all over the, I mean, just like throwing food around, but they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, racking out the door. And after a year, you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like you hungry, you reached your level, you don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, the civil rights movement. We was asking, you know, now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
I put my gun away and grab my AK. It's getting hectic. I can't call it. House full of alcoholics. Now a nigga's under pressure.
This is the story of a boy who didn't talk for a long time. The boy liked things to always be the same. Any changes would scare and upset him. The unknown was an unfriendly place. The boy was very sensitive to lights and sounds. So he built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. The boy didn't like looking people in the eye. He wasn't trying to be mean. It just made him feel uncomfortable. Sometimes he would flap his arms again and again.
One day, I found out I had something called autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I found my voice and learned all the ways I could live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. What time it is? It's me, your girl POC. Wake up, wake up, wake up, man. We got what? 6 minutes into the noon? 6 minutes into noon, man. We still reviving airways on this AM right now. We still reviving airways right now, man. Make sure you guys tune in. Spread the word. You can listen to us live on TuneIn. You can go to the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. Or you can go directly to reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Press play so you can listen to me live while I'm reviving airways each and every Sunday with that good Sunday morning talk radio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you already know you can give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832. And hit us up on social media at Revive_POC, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But let's go ahead and jump into it with our next guest. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming up on the platform real quick? I'm excited to be speaking with the home team this morning.
Yes, we have Scat Hat, who is a sister brand that has created trendy, affordable, and quality satin line beanies. Now, these are not just any type of beanies, y'all. These satin lining inside keeps the moisture in your hair and avoid unnecessary dryness, frizz, breakage, and other damages. So we welcome you to the platform, Revive.
How you ladies feeling today? How you ladies? Wake up. How y'all?
Hi, thank you for having us. My sister couldn't make it, so Zay, I'm here representing both of us.
Awesome. You said Zay?
Yes.
How are you, Zay? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm great, man. I'm speaking with you guys today, man. How can we get right? Go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm trying to get my head right, man. All 18. I'm trying to get my head right. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
We're Scats, Hats, and we're from the DMV. Yeah, we make satin-lined beanies. And because regular beanies basically dry your hair out and, like, strip your hair moisture and basically causes breakage, so we decided to put, like, satin on the inside because, you know, you can wrap your hair. When you wrap your hair, that's pretty much what you're doing, only you can't wrap your hair and walk out the door without people thinking that you're a little bit off. Uh-huh. So we basically just put that, we just put the satin on the inside of the hat. And, yeah, so we just make trendy, like, beanies, like regular beanies, but it has satin on the inside. You can't tell the satin's on the inside, but, I mean, from other people looking at you, you can't tell. But, yeah, you're protecting your hair.
You're
and looking stylish
saving lives,
and
man.
Warm.
Y'all saving lives. Y'all saving edges. Y'all saving the ponytails, man. Y'all saving it all. I love what you guys are doing. That was the most creative idea I have seen thus far because I have locks. So my locks, you know, they can get really dry. They can get tangled in different, you know, beanies. You can get the, you know, the cotton coming into your hair with the different beanies. So the fact that you guys put that setting in, I'm like, oh, no, I got to give me one ASAP, like ASAP. How has the DMV area showed you guys love? Because, you know, the DMV area right now, everyone has locks. So how has they showed you love in your city?
They've been really supportive. It's amazing. Like, it's still kind of surreal to me. My sister's kind of, like, used to it. She's like, get used to it already. But it's surreal to see, like, people just show you, like, so much love and support. They don't even know you at all. Like, they just see your product, and they get so excited and start asking you questions. And then, of course, they show mad love. As soon as they know that we went to Howard, we're Howard graduates, they're like, oh, I got to get one. Don't even matter. Just got to support. So, yeah, DMV has been really, 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 really supportive.
Facts, man. But I went to Cheney. I went to the first HBCU. I just had to throw that in there because you gave yourself a shout-out. So I wanted to throw my HBCU a shout-out real quick. Definitely, man. How did you guys actually come up with the idea? Would you guys just sitting at home one day, like, yo, my hair getting dry, man. What can we do? Or was it like a need? Was it like a need that you guys seen, and you just threw it out there just to see if it worked? How did you guys come up with the idea?
Okay, so I'm a hat lover. I love beanies. I found out through trial and error that I get really, really cold if I don't wear a hat. Like, I can literally wear, like, a T-shirt and a pair of boots, and as long as I have a hat on, I'm good. But if I don't have a hat on, I have on, like, layers of clothes, I'm still going to be cold. So I've always loved wearing beanies. And so I started going to the salon, started taking my the health of my hair seriously, and started paying a lot of money for it. So I'd go to the salon, and my stylist would basically tell me, well, your hair is dry. It's dry, I don't know what. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I could, like, put a scarf around it. So I would, like, wear a scarf under it. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew, okay, well, if I wear a scarf to sleep, then there's some kind of correlation there. So I wear a scarf under my hat, and I would still try to look cute and leave my bangs out. And so when I'd go in there, she'd be like, the back of your hair is soft, but your bangs is mad dry. So, and then I lost a whole bunch of edges. Like, my edges was gone. It was so bad. I had no edges. My hair was dry, and the parts that I did wrap the scarf around was quite soft and healthy, and this was wintertime. So I guess first I stopped wearing bangs, so I cut my hair. So then I actually started putting a scarf on covering my whole entire head, and I threw a hat on. And my sister, Cozy, is like a serial entrepreneur. Like, if she sees an idea, she's going to go for it. So, I remember I talked to her, like, in summertime. I was like, oh, hey, you know, like, I'm thinking about this. And I basically your shoulder, like, the satin on the inside of the hat. And I was like, because, you know, I think that'll help. So she did the research and was like, oh, okay, you know, let's do it. I just gave it as an idea just to, you know, I don't know. I just was like, hey, take a look at it. What do you think? And that's how that went. And, yeah.
Trust me, I know the feeling. My sister's the exact same way. Who's the oldest? Are you the youngest or is she the oldest?
I'm younger. She's older.
So we in the same boat, man. Trust me when I tell you I have the same kind of sister, man. You be like, yo, check this out. Next, you know, boom, it's on the market, man. That's why you got them, right? That's exactly why you got them, love them. And you definitely found a need. You found a need because I am one, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even going to hold you or fake on this radio right now that I am one who has definitely had that experience before I even got locks. You know what I'm saying? My edges was horrible because I was not taking care of it. And it was so dry. You know, us as African-Americans, we have, you know, our natural hair is crazy sometimes. The different textures, the dryness of it all is really crazy. And that's why, you know, we have so many different products now to moisturize what we're trying to do with our natural hair. And everyone is going natural now, which is the most amazing. I'm about to say the most amazing thing ever, right? So it's really dope to know that you guys are creating a need for everyone in the time as they're going natural. And one thing as well, like how you say you love wearing hats, right? So one thing, when you're going natural, sometimes you get those insecure people who don't necessarily want to show their, you know, their first two stages of their, you know, their bush, their little itty bitty bush, right? So putting on a dope beanie is where it's at. So the fact that you guys are able to create a product for people who are trying to go natural in their first stages to sew on a dope beanie and then still be able to keep their hair moisturized and everything like that, keep the texture. How does it actually help with the texture of people's hair? Like, are you guys putting the oil in it for them, or, you know what I mean? Like, is it like oil and fused, like how does that work?
Well, it helps. We don't put anything in the hat. We make it satin lined, and you can take it from there. So what it does, though, because satin is also it's an insulator. So what it does is that it basically, you know, winter time, like the colder months, it's, your hair is like ridiculously dry, our hair is prone to dryness anyway, so wintertime just adds to it. So what the satin inside the beanie does, basically, you would need to oil your hair and moisturize your hair on your own, and then when you throw on the hat, one, you're not cold, and then two, it keeps that moisture. Because the thing is, when you throw, you could, you know, I've done it before where I moisturize my hair and I put the oils. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm looking good. And I step out for like a good 10, 15 minutes. And I'm like, didn't I oil this hair? And it's like dry and just looking all types of fat. So, but I noticed that, like, when we wear our products, like, we don't just sell them and then be like, okay, well, let the consumers, you know, do with it what they want. No, we wear it too, and we'll make changes, and, you know, we'll have feedback on, okay, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. So we wear our beanies, and it makes all the difference. I actually have edges now, and I didn't have edges like a good 3 or 4 years ago. So that's basically basically, if you think about it, it's like just wrapping your hair. Like, the whole reason why you want to wrap your hair when you go to sleep is why you would need to, like, basically wear a satin-lined beanie scarf. because, you know what, like, okay, so let me say this. I never understood the concept of wrapping my hair at night. I just saw my mom do it. I saw my sister do it. So I never asked questions. I just wrapped my hair. But I found out, obviously, that, you know, the cotton strips your hair and all that. So you want to wrap it in satin and avoid all that. So that's pretty much what scarf does. On the outside, like when you go out, you don't have to worry about your hair being dry and breaking, because you experience a lot of breakage, especially in the colder months. So that's what scats does.
No doubt. Thank you for dropping those gems. But speaking of scats, how did you guys come up with that name? That's a very creative, you know, name that you pretty much never heard of before. So how did you guys come up with that name, scats?
I wish my sister was here to answer that question. I was always afraid that somebody could ask this question. So, all right. So one time, I was singing a song. I'm very random. I was singing a song. I'm a scat man. I don't know if you've heard of it. It goes blah blah blah. I'm a scat man. So I was singing it, and she's okay. Yeah, sing. Okay, so you've heard of it. So I was singing that, and it was random as hell. And so she was like, "Yo, like, you really just started singing that song?" And I was like, "You know the song." So it got stuck in her head. So she started calling me Scat, right? SKAT. And so when we were looking for a name for the for this company, she was like, "Why not Scat?" So I was like, "Oh my God, no." And I said no for the very reason that I knew people would ask, what does it mean? And I didn't want to tell the story. But she was like, "No, it works. I love it." So that's how it came about. And she just put the Z for my name, basically, at the end. She added the S Z.
So, yeah. That's how that name came from.
That's family support, and that's what we need. That is super love. Shout out to your sisters. Shout out to the big sisters everywhere around the world, man. Show your little sisters love, man. Definitely, definitely, definitely. So I appreciate you guys coming on Revive today, man. Before we let you
go.
I want you to go ahead and give yourself a shout out, how people can cop those beanies, man, how they can find more information about you guys.
Okay, our website is www.scats.com, and scats is spelled SKATSD.com, and our social media handle is pretty much the same, which is at Shop Scats, which is SHOPSKATSD.
No doubt, man. Make sure you guys go support them right now, man. I appreciate you coming out the home side, man. I'm excited. The DMV area, I appreciate that, man. Shout out to you guys over there at HU. I ain't even going to show no shade because I love
you. Know?
I love Howard too, so definitely I appreciate you coming out of DMV, showing love to us here on Revive today, man. I wish you guys many blessings in your future endeavors. And I got to come cop one. I'm actually coming to D.C. next week. I got to come cop one for my grandma, man. My grandma actually just asked me and tab money about it a couple weeks ago. Like, how can I grow my hair back? I'm starting to go bald. When they get up in age, they start getting insecure about their bald heads, whatever. So I got to save my grandma's life. I got to go snatch her edges real quick with a Scats hat. So definitely, I appreciate you guys. I'm definitely going to hit you guys up next week. Thank you once again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us.
No doubt. Have a good one. Have a great week.
You too. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That just wrapped up a dope interview with Scats Hats. Make sure you guys go support them right now. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Scats Hats, man. They are two dope sisters creating that generational wealth. You know what I'm saying? Creating that family-owned business. That's what we need. That's what we're looking for, man. 2018, it's not just about you. It's about you and your family. Do it with your family. It's only right. Keep the money in the family. Keep that black dollar circling, people. Understand, man. Understand. Family wealth. Generational wealth is important. That's how you want to live life. That's how you want to be free in life. Yo, Tab, you got a tip for him today about this generational wealth? We just heard two sisters coming out of DMV doing exactly what we're doing.
I'm going to say just trust each other. Like, that's what we need to get back to, is just trusting each other and loving one another. Like, once the love and the trust is there, we can go into business together, because I found out, like, one of the reasons why family wealth and generational wealth isn't sustaining is because of trust. Like, people think we're shady, or we think we're lazy, and we really don't want to work hard. But once we start getting that love together, get love in our hearts, and we start trusting one another, then we'll be able to work together. And again, understanding. Like, we need understanding. So I just want y'all to start trusting and loving on one another, healing each other, accepting one another's traumas, and moving forward, like allowing perspectives to exist again in the same room.
I'm with you on that, but my thing is, like, and I do want to wrap it up, because we gotta get to, you know, what's buzzing hosted by TLS. But one thing that, you know, what you just said about trusting, that just stood out to me as well, is like, how can you not trust your sibling? You know, I do understand that sibling rivalries happen, you know, things happen, family feuds, all that good old stuff, right? But these are the same people you took baths with, you took showers with, you was twins with, you know what I'm saying? Y'all was wearing the same clothes, y'all slept in the same bed, y'all had to eat off each other's plates. Like, when it comes to siblings, brothers and sisters, I really feel like that time that is spent with each other should be a time where you guys are feeding off each other, creating different, you know, energies with each other, to understand when we get older, it's going to be us. Like, just think about the Ball family, you know what I'm saying? The Ball family with LeVar Ball and History Boys. Them young men are doing tremendous things because he kept his family together on a whole different scale, taught them how, you know, this family business is going to start an entire movement. And that's exactly what they did. They moved one time and it started the right movement for them. You see what I'm saying? So definitely shout out to the Ball family with that. That's the idea right now. You don't have to push it as hard as LeVar, man. He be out of control sometimes, but I'm just saying.
But the trust was instilled in his family at an early age, and that's where we need to get it at, because, like, now sometimes people gotta bounce back. They gotta bounce back from, like, the traumas. Like I said, certain traumas kind of affect us to the point that we don't trust our cousin, we don't trust our parent. They did something shady, or in their individual personal life and their personal business, they got all these extraness going on. So yeah, you gotta work on healing each other with love, and that's what I'm saying. Heal each other with love, keep the positive energy going, and then get the youth. Like, if you see we having babies, we starting the next generation, get them while they're young. Like, start them early so they don't have to go back and unlearn and relearn. You want to already instill in their muscle memory at an early age, because, like, that's the key with our generation right now and our parents' generation, is that we have to go back and unlearn certain things and relearn them. And once we're already stuck in our ways, it's kind of difficult and challenging if we don't know how to focus.
No doubt. Educate and re-educate each and every day. But what you just said, though, like the shady things, I'm still not going to understand. I'm not going to understand. The reason why I'm not going to understand, though, the reason why I'm not going to understand, Tab, is because just as well as you go to your 9-to-5s and you go work for other people, do you know how shady they are? Like, let's think about it. Let's say, yo, excuse me, manager, I need to take off for X, Y, and Z because my child has a stage play. I would like to, go see my child play. No, if you can't find nobody to cover you, then you're not getting off. That's shady. You know what I'm saying? If, you know, you wake up and say, oh, I'm going to be 10 minutes late because it's traffic on 95. And they say, oh, well, we have to write you up. That's shady. So what's the point of you putting your all into a 9-to-5 and they're being just as shady as a family member? I feel as though you can have more conversations and work things out a little bit easier with your family than you can work out with somebody has already had a company and already established. They like, no, it's 10,000 more people that's like you that's looking for a job. So why would I be over here, you know, I'm trying to work it out with you, have a conversation, converse with you about why you should stay here in my business and why I can't just fire you and replace you that fast. No, at least with a family business, there are more conversations, there are more, you know, communication to the point where we can understand why this person made the wrong move or why this person went left. That's just my opinion. Like, who cares if it was a shady situation? In business, it's a shady situation. Once you detach your feelings from the business and stop putting personal into the business relationship, you know what I'm saying? You won't even think about, oh, this person's being shady. This person told me no. My sister just told me no, I can't go into the funds and take $2,000 out because we're not going to be able to get our ROI in 2 months. You know what I'm saying? So of course I'm like, oh nah, Tab shady, she holding out on the money. No, she's telling me this for a reason, because we need that return on our investment. So I understand that. I'm not looking at you like you shady. And if I put my personal feelings involved, and I don't want to go on a rant because you know me, I get to rapping, right? But if I put my personal feelings involved, I'm like, man, Tab shady, I'm going in an account anyway. I'm about to destroy the business. I'm about to take it out without her even knowing behind her back. I got the password. I got the keys, right? What I need Tab to do this for. So boom, now I'm going to be shady. Now the family business is ruined because I put my personal feelings into the business relationship when you already broke it down and told me why I couldn't go get these funds out. That's all I'm saying. So it's no different from working a 9-to-5 and your boss being shady from working working in a family owned business and your sister being shady.
That's real. It's easier said than done, but like that's the whole thing, is that why we breaking it down in conversation right now on the air, is that we need people to unlearn and relearn and get this understanding that you can have family business, you can have generational wealth. PLC and myself are an example. The young lady who was just on air and her sister with the Scats hats, they are an example. So I'm glad that there's people out here showing and not telling. Like, we're not just talking about it, we're actually living in it and doing it.
Yeah, just do not take any advice from the Trump family. That's all I'm asking you. Don't take any advice from the Trump family. And speaking of the Trump family, we're not even going to go to a commercial. We're going to jump right into it with What's Buzzing, hosted by TLS. And we got your boy Brax coming back up with me as well. So I'm excited to be speaking with him. We're going to jump right into it. Yo, Brax, you up next.
What's Buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as What's Buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion, let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
Yo, Brax, what it do? How you feeling today, man? You alive on Revive right now, Brax.
What's up? I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling great, man. You are now listening to What's Buzzing, hosted by TLS, man. We're going to jump into a little politics with the actual factuals with TLS. Yo, Brax, go ahead and reintroduce yourself for the people right now.
What's up, sir? I'm Braxton. I'm co-founder of TLS Politics, along with Keith. Couldn't be here today. If you're interested in following us, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TLSPolitics_ and on Facebook at facebook.com/TLSPolitics.
doubt. And how have you been? I haven't talked to you since, you know, the new year. We're 14 days in. So how has the first 14 days been for you?
Oh, been a challenge, but I'm not going to let that determine the way the rest of my year goes.
No doubt. And you know what? Donald Trump ain't waste no time. Donald Trump, and I actually want to jump right into it. I'm actually going to play a clip from Don Lemon. You know how he went off earlier this week about Donald Trump and his comment. I don't even want to make the comment. I don't even want to repeat the comment. So I want to jump right into it. Let's just get right into it, Brack. I'm going to go ahead and play this clip real quick. It's about 2 minutes long. I want you guys to fully hear exactly what Don Lemon said on CNN Live, man. He went straight to the point, straight to the source. He cited everything he said, and he just told us what the actual factuals, man. Stay tuned to this.
This is CNN Tonight. I'm Don Lemon. The president of the United States is racist. A lot of us already knew that. Today, President Trump talking with lawmakers in the Oval Office about immigrants from Haiti, from El Salvador, and Africa said, and I quote, "Why are we having all these people from shithole countries come here?" But you know who he did say he would welcome here? He said the U.S. should bring in more people from countries like Norway. And CNN is told that he went on to say, "Why do we need more Haitians? Take them out." Those comments are frankly disgusting. There's other language I'd like to use, but we are on television. But you know what? They're not shocking. Not even really surprising. Because this is who Donald Trump is. This is what he thinks. Apparently we have to go through this repertoire every time he says something like this or exhibits some racist behavior. This is a man who in the Oval Office, me and others have been trying to tell you, the American people, that this man was exhibiting bigoted behavior. I asked him about it a number of times, and he denied it, but kept up the racist rhetoric and behavior throughout the campaign and now while he's in the White House. His supporters made excuses, continue to make excuses for him. Some of them people I personally know. Some of them are his friends, as a matter of fact, and I can hear them now telling me, "Oh, Don, Donald didn't mean that. Donald isn't a racist," or just people who don't know him. I think he was taken out of context. I'm not sure. How many examples do you need of this? But he is a racist. And for all of you who over the last few years have uttered that tired, lazy, uninformed, uneducated, ignorant response of calling me and others who point out racist behavior racist, you know what you can go do? I can't say that, but you can go read a book, a history book, because you might learn that people from some of those shithole countries were slaves who were brought here by force to help build this country, and then start your learning process from there. You also might want to do some self-examination. What does it say about you that no matter what, you continue to make excuses for this man, for his vile behavior, this sort of vile behavior? Doesn't that make you just as bad, if not worse, than him? And I have to be honest, I was not shocked that Donald Trump reportedly called the majority of black and Hispanic countries or continents shitholes. I wasn't shocked. I'm not. I'm really not outraged by it. I'm not outraged. I'm tired of being outraged, as a matter of fact. I've been outraged too many times. It's more important to be strategic than to be outraged. Some people can be outraged, but it's more important for level-headed people to be strategic rather than outraged. Otherwise, it becomes a sky-is-falling situation every time he says something dumb or stupid or racist. This is CNN Tonight. I'm Don Lemon.
Brax, did you hear that?
Yes.
Man, and I agree with him. I honestly, truly agree with him. I agree with the shithole, honestly, Brax. Not agree with the shithole. I'm sorry. I agree with Don Lemon, who he was as he was speaking about the shithole, Donald Trump. I'm tired of being outraged. Like, I'm honestly, truly tired of being outraged. It's like nothing else that he can say nor do can shock me any longer. Like, I'm just honestly just like, this is truly who he is. This is, you know, the president of the United States. This is the guy who is running, you know, our country at this time. How do you feel about, you know, what Don Lemon said? And then I definitely want you to go ahead and break down the comment, your opinion about the comment that the shithole Donald Trump actually made.
So basically, I echo Don's sentiment. And like, it's like you said, like, I'm tired of being outraged. Like, I'm not surprised that he said it like at all. Like, it's not a shock.
I'm just shocked that people are, I don't even say shocked, I'm just like annoyed, fed up at this point, that people are still defending his comments. They're still trying to defend when he says racist stuff and saying, oh, it's not what he meant. Yes, it is what he, it's what he meant. Like, basically, like, if you want to sum up, like, what he meant and what he said on all that, basically say, we don't need any more black people in this country. Let's bring in some more white people. That's basically what Donald was saying. You're talking about shithole countries, bring more people from Norway. That's basically what you want. You're basically saying, so many black people here, you're not a fan of that. Let's bring in some more white people. And, like, I just, like, I'm not going to be the dead horse, but, I mean, like, he said what he said, and people are still supporting him. Like, there was one pastor, Mark Burns, who was on AM Joy, and tried to defend his comments. Well, first he tried to say, we're not sure that's what was said, but it's confirmed it's what he said. But then he tried to defend his comments by quoting the Bible. And this is a man that's on his evangelical council. And then went out, like, after that to go say that since Joy cares more for Haitians than black Americans here in poverty, she should go to Haiti, which is really, like, inappropriate, but that's a whole other conversation. But it's not a surprise. It's just like, where have all these, it's kind of like you keep wondering, like, where did all these people come from? Like, because they've always been here, but it's like, where were you hiding at? Like, where was all this ignorance hiding at? So, like, now it's coming out, it's rearing its ugly head, showing it, like, all the time. But I'm just like, how can you continue to defend this man? I don't know.
Man.
That's how I feel.
This whole situation is mind-blowing to the point where it's like, it's to the point, like, can we do anything now? You know what I mean? It's mind-blowing on the opposite side of the fence. Like, it's like, what can we do other than, can you know, continue to have these different conversations and continue to push people into voting, you know, in their primary elections and making sure that they're voting locally and things like that. But it's like, what can we do to stop the racism in America? You know what I'm saying? And now it's being televised in a whole different way. You know how they used to say, you know, the revolution will not be televised? Racism is now being televised in a whole nother way. People, like you said, where have they been hiding? They're coming and speaking out on so many different platforms. You even have people who look like you and I speaking out and defending the racism because they've been, you know, they've been oppressed by racism for so long that they're now believing that it's okay and it's not that bad. It's not, you know, it's not something that we should be looking at as a bad thing. Like, for that pastor to come on, shout out to Joy, because she handled her business, man. When I tell you she handled her business. Shout out for Joy to have that AM Joy platform. We need more platforms like that. Just like Angela Rye came on CNN and killed it, too, this week. It's just that we need more platforms like that, because we need more people like her to keep speaking out and correcting the nonsense. She corrected the nonsense by doing what? Just citing another verse in the Bible and getting him together. But at the same time, it's like, how do we stop? Like, do you think that there is a way that we can stop racism, or do you think that racism is just something that, you know, we have to just take on as it comes and we just experience it and we just have to figure out, you know, what we should do at that time?
Actually, to quote Joy, because she was on, and this is from Angela Rye's podcast back last year, she said, you know, you're not going to be able to change. You can't change the race. You can't change the mindset of the race of sheriff, but you can change who the sheriff is, like, by voting. Like, that's the thing. She's like, you probably won't be able to change that person's mindset, but you can change who's in that job. And, like, that's kind of, like, what it comes down to. And I know, like, it'd be frustrating because people are like, you know, like, I vote, but I don't see anything. But, like, you got to go out. You got to be vocal, and you got to, like, work to make change. But, like, I believe that voting is, like, one of, like, the key ways that you can do that. Because, like, if somebody is, like, 65 doing racist stuff like Donald Trump, like, they're already set in their ways. But what you can do is you can change who that person is that's in that seat, that's in that office, and then start working from there. Like, I feel like, and then they'll have a trigonometric check. Like, I just feel like that's where we start.
And I also want to say where we can come in and make that shift is in, if we focus on what we respect, react, and respond to, Like, literally what we can control is what we react and what we respond to. Like, if we want to change anything, that's the only thing that we can change it in our everyday lives as regular people. Yes, we do need to vote and put these people in office. First, we need the people to be in order and organized and be experts and qualified and credible to sit in these positions, and then we need to also vote and get them into positions. So yes, we need to vote, but what you can do right now in the present moment and the now, you can focus on what you respond and you react to. It's like, stop reacting to Trump. But most of the stuff that he does it for attention. He wants H&M scandals. They want to do it for attention. They want to do it for a response and a reaction. And they make money off of that. So what we can do is just focus on ourselves, building up the unity, building up our homes, like rebuilding the Black family structure, rebuilding the education in the home, like stop relying on our schools to teach our children. We should be teaching our children at home and with our own textbooks and with our own knowledge and intellect. So, yeah, that's how I feel like we can make that change on racism, because It's a perspective. Like, what is a race? Race is a competition. Even if we keep using that word, race, it's just like it's always going to be a competition over another. So, yeah, just focus on how you respond and you react and what you react and you respond to. That's more key. The awareness is what you respond to and what you react to. And then the next level is how you respond. So, yeah, don't. How do you respond to Trump? Like, we respond to Trump by, like, communicating and coming on air and discussing and educating the people. But we got to start. We got to make that shift and that change.
Definitely have to make that shift and that change. And it does start with us as people. But my thing is just, like, the how do you, like you said, the it's your reaction to it. But my point is, like, we keep reacting the same way. You know what I'm saying? We keep reacting the same way in shock. Like, we're like, oh, my God, did he just say that? And then we give more light to the situation by keep replaying it over and over again and highlighting over and over again what he said. You know what I'm saying? But then some people on the opposing side is like, we shouldn't let this die. We're supposed to keep putting that out there to continue to expose who he is as a person. So that's where it's confusing me, you know, coming, you know, from a media side, a journalist's side, you know, and then also just being an everyday average voter. It's like, how do we put an end to that? And I want to know what you guys are thinking too. 215-490-9832. It's like, how do we put an end to that? Because, like, if you don't talk about it, then it's like, okay, we're just going to act like nothing ever happened. We're just going to pretend like nothing ever happened. But if we do talk about it, it's like, oh, you keep highlighting the same situations. Brax, what do you think?
Well, you got to keep talking about it in order to. So, there's been different journalists, and, like, I know Joy said this, and then Roland said this, and then, like, I personally do agree. So, where we are right now in the United States, like, who our leader is, like, this is, like, not normal. Like, some of the things that are happening, like, haven't always happened. They're just, like, now they're out, like, in the light for everybody to see. But, like, we can't normalize it. So, like, you have to, like, keep calling him out, like, on his bullshit, frankly, and, like, keep talking about it and, like, keep highlighting it just to show, like, this is not going to normalize it. Like, this is, like, not okay. Because, like, if you don't call it out, you don't pay attention to it, what happens is people start to normalize it and say, oh, that's just him, and, like, oh, don't let it, like, you know, like, basically they won't let it bother them, and then you get to a point where, like, you have an autocracy, like, you're in a state where other countries are in, where, like, it doesn't bother them what their government does, even though it's wrong, or how their leader is behaving, because, like, they normalized it. And that's the one thing, like, the United States, like, we're, our government was not supposed to operate like this. Unfortunately, it is right now, but, like, it's not normal, and, like, we can't, like, let it, we can't normalize it. That's why I feel like you have to keep calling him out, like, when he's wrong, and call him on his bullshit, because, like, you got to show that, like, hey, like, you keep doing this, or we're going to keep calling you out. Like, we're not just going to sit here and take it. I feel like if you don't highlight it, and you just, like, I get it, you don't want to give him a bunch of attention. You don't want to give him a bunch of attention, and even though it's negative attention, attention is still attention, but I feel like we have to call him out on this shit, because if not, then he's just going to keep doing more and more. I mean, he's going to do it regardless, but I just feel like if you don't acknowledge it, then he's just going to keep trying to find ways to get attention, and it's just going to make it worse, if that makes sense.
My thing is that if we need to talk about it once and then be done with it, like, and we got to be strategic with it on how we are going to be effective and efficient. So, like, that's my whole thing. It's like, yeah, we keep talking about it, highlighting and highlighting it, but what results are we yielding from talking about it? Like, what are we getting from just calling him out? Well, he's getting more attention, and what are we getting? Like, what results are we getting, and how effective and efficient is it to our organization's plan? So, like, I think we need to organize, for one, and we have to have a common core agenda. And then from there, we need to be strategic on how we're going to call this man out. Yeah, we know he's doing this, but how are we going to point it out to a point where we can make a change or make some effects and we can make a movement and a shift? Like, even for the H&M thing, like, are we going to just, we called it out, but has anybody boycotted H&M? But I did see one example in Johannesburg. They trashed the people there. They trashed the H&M in Johannesburg because of the scandal. So it's like, how effective and efficient are our calling these people out are doing?
But at the same time, like, in Johannesburg, that was definitely the wrong example to call out as a protest, because they trashed the store. I mean, they went in there and did everything that we did not need right now. I understand why they were, you know, militant with the protest, but at the same time, like, them trashing the store is never what we need. We need more of a positive, you know, protest that can, and I'm going to be, I know, like, there's always a Martin and a Malcolm way to doing everything, right? That's always my comparison, but I'm going to go with the Martin way when it comes to what they did in H&M, because a peaceful protest, I think, would have got, not as much traction as they did with the crazy protests, you know, knocking down everything in the store. But the peaceful protest would have been the move that would have started the movement, because we didn't see anyone do what they did. You know what I'm saying? It was no talk around going into H&M and starting, you know, to protest inside the store. It was no talk about that. So they were the first to start the move, and that could have been the movement. But the way they went about it is like, yeah, no, everyone's not about to go in there and trash the store. That's not what everyone is about. But if we would have did it as a collective move, I think that would have been the right movement. Just my opinion.
Again, it's about results. Like, that's my whole thing. It's like, what results are we yielding from our actions and call to action? So, yeah, and I want to know, are our results effective and efficient?
Definitely. Brax, did you actually take a look, or did you get into the story that went in South Africa in Johannesburg?
I just saw, I breezed through, like, an article about it. But one thing about the H&M, thing too, I did see, like, the pictures and stuff. I really didn't the mother, like, come out and, like, basically say that, like, we kind of, like, got to get over it. Because, like, she did it, like, you know, like, she knew what she was doing with her child, and she doesn't have a problem with it. So, like, I know that's kind of, like, sparked, like, conversation, too.
Yes, that definitely was one. She definitely came out.
Not to say that I agree. Not to say that, like, I'm on her, like, you know, but, like, I'm just saying, like, the mom is, like, saying, like, well, I did it, so why do you have a problem with it if I did it? So
I'm with you on that one. And then what's crazy, Tab, as he makes that point, she's also African. She's also African. So what they did in, you know, South Africa to pretty much protest around what was going on with her son, she came out, who is an African woman, said, why y'all tripping? It's not that big of a deal. So it's like, what they did in South Africa was not the right move. I appreciate them starting something, but they could, I don't like the way they finished it. It's just my opinion. And
I can say some of the other things that even what we're doing when it comes to Trump situations, our reactions and that the way we respond aren't not yielding effective and efficient results. And that's my whole point when I ask, like, what results are we yielding?
I mean, and that's why we got to keep this conversation going on What's Buzzing with TLS Politics. Brax, we do have to wrap it up. Sorry we was not able to get to all the content today, but we definitely talked about what we needed to talk about, which was that Donald Trump situation, man. I want you to know what you guys are thinking. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Please give us a call and let us know what you guys feel about this Donald Trump and the Haiti situation. Man, all my love is going to everyone you know, who is part of Haiti, who comes from that country, that beautiful, beautiful country, who is, you know, a descendant from Haitians, man, I'm sending nothing but love. You get endless love right now from Revive and the whole Russell Brand and Harmony the Goddess, man. We do not agree with anything Donald Trump said. He is the shithole.
We going to Haiti one day, so, yeah, bless up to all the Haitians.
And they are the most hardworking people ever, man. Everybody be trying, like, you know what I'm saying, just downplay the situation because of, you know, how they got here in America because of, you know, the natural disaster and things like that. But no, man, these people help. Think about New Orleans, man. Think about New Orleans. Think about, you know, everything that went on in St. Louis. Like, not St. Louis, I mean Louisiana. Like, y'all, like, people don't understand, Brax. They not out here doing their research. So we definitely got to keep this conversation going, Brax. Thank you guys for coming on TLS, man. Always doing your thing. Please go ahead and give yourself a shout out one more time before you leave.
All right, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TLS Politics and Facebook.com/TLS Politics. Before I go, I do want to give a shout-out. It's our marketing manager's birthday today, so happy birthday, Simone, all the way down to Philadelphia. And also happy Founders Day to women of Delta Sigma Theta and Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority.
No doubt. Thank you. Okay, see, you got some shout-outs. Happy birthday, Simone, coming from the Revive Radio family. Definitely happy birthday, Simone. We appreciate everything that you guys do over there at TLS. And keep up the good work, Brax. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for this great conversation today.
All right, y'all be blessed. Have a good day.
Have a great week, man. We just wrapped up another great segment with TLS. What's buzzing, man? We did not get to all our topics. We had a long list of topics for you guys today. But, man, that Trump situation, everything that he said around, you know, Haiti was just like, yo, we have to talk about this. And Tab Money, you already know she has something to say, so she had to get it in. So I appreciate that, too. We have our next guest coming up right after this quick commercial break. You do not want to miss this young man, man. He is doing some big things. He got more heart than some of you men out here, man. He about to tell you guys how to do it and how to do it the proper way, how to get it done at the age of 9, man. You know what time it is. Meet your girl POC. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
You have the power to stop bullying.
Speak up.
Speak out.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference.
Bullying isn't kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Or to walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Cyanide, carbon monoxide. These are just a few of the 7,000 chemicals that can be traced from cigarettes. Tobacco-related deaths are expected to rise to around 8 million annual deaths worldwide by the year 2030. Put down the cigarette and don't be one of those people.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about girl POC, host of Revive, man. We still reviving your airways. We reviving your airways, man. Wake up, every Sunday, wake up with me each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wake up, man. We reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Time for an Awakening, man. You can go directly to reviveisalive.com to check us out each and every Sunday. You already know we reviving your airways each and every Wednesday on Time for an Awakening. So I need you guys to go ahead and click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at revive_POC. And you already know you can give us a call anytime while we reviving your airways, 215-490-9832. We got your girl Harmony the Goddess and Tab Money in the building with us today while we reviving the airways, man. Make sure you guys hit that emergency contact number as well. Yo, we about to jump into it with our last guest today, man. We had a jam-packed show. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. We about to get into it with our last guest, King Maxie, man. I'm excited to be speaking with this 9-year-old young man. He's doing it big. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming onto the platform?
Yes, we have the amazing King Maxie. He's 9 years old and raised in Las Vegas. He started his training at the age of 5 in boxing and mixed martial arts by his father, and now he's coached and trained by Floyd Mayweather Sr. So we welcome you to the platform.
What's up, King Maxie? How are you doing, young King?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, you got some energy in the morning, man. You in Las Vegas right now. How does it feel to be in your hometown doing your thing?
Oh, this just feels awesome. Great. And it's really cool that I'm in Las Vegas.
That's love. And how did you actually get started? You're actually a boxer, right? Are you a professional boxer yet?
No.
So how did you get started?
No, I'm an amateur.
You're an amateur boxer. Okay, okay. And how did you actually get started with boxing?
Well, I was 5, and then my dad told me, a red car that Floyd was standing next to. I said that it looked like a transformer. And then my dad said, all I have to do is not lose a fight. And I was surprised by that. And that's how I became a fighter, so I can buy everything I want. And then I started training till now.
That's love. So one of you compared it to one of your favorite movies, I'm guessing, Transformers. Is a Transformer one of your favorite movies?
Yeah.
Awesome. And what do you like about the Transformers?
Is that it's like Transformers are really big robots, but they can shift into cars. And it's really cool. And it's like that they have their own mind. And plus it helps me get out of the real world sometimes when I just want to have a little fun.
You just want to have a little fun, definitely. And is boxing one thing that you love to have fun doing?
Yeah.
And where did you get that passion from, my man? When we see you guys on Instagram doing your thing, where did you get that passion for the love of boxing? I know your dad is behind you, so I'm going to go ahead and speak to your father a little bit about it. Can I speak to your father?
So, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, so where did he get that passion for boxing? I know he said that, you know, the Transformers is something that inspired him, but you can just see it in his face when he's doing his thing.
You know what, honestly, it was, I believe he was born for it, because that's something we kind of had a feeling he was going to be a tough cat before he came, because the doctors were saying he would kick more within an hour when he was still inside the womb, about 20, 40 kicks more than they had ever seen, just from the activity, you know, on the inside. And we have like a Spartan kind of household. And if you've ever seen the 300 movie, he gets that same, he's tough, built with that same kind of grit from that. But what really did it was like Spider-Man and the Turtles. He would see those things and I would tell him, you know, like, Dad, are those real? And I say, no, but something close to it can be. And he just thought that was cool. So I said, let's start off, let's try. Let's go for it. And we start off very boring. He wants to do spinning kicks, and he wants to do everything from the TV. And I let him know, like, you have to do a bunch of boring, slow things to get there. So we started off doing 10 push-ups, 10 jumping jacks, jabs, punches, just, you know, things pace by pace. And then all of a sudden, you know, you just see that one day where all of a sudden the left hook, the knee, the everything is just moving quicker, he's moving different, or he's reacting instead of just listening. And that was all when he was 5. It was like an instant thing. And I gave it about 6 months before I started, like, posting him because, you know, everybody tries to go viral and everything. I just waited until he was sharp. And then once I think we reached that point, we stuck to it. And I told him from day one that it would either be just me and him the whole way through if he wasn't trained by the Mayweathers, because they're the only fighters that we believe look at the fight game different. Mm. Because we, as a family, view fighting as easy. I know that's difficult to some to believe, but there's an easy science to it to us. So that's how we approached it. And I always respected the Mayweathers as the same kind of people. And luckily enough, when he was 7, he met them for the first time during the Berto, before the Berto fight. And Senior told him that if he sticks to it, that he would train him in the future. And the day before the McGregor-Mayweather fight, Senior sent him a video personally and said, I know you've been sticking to it, so come on down. We were in Phoenix at the time, and that's when we decided to move right back again so we could go full in with him. And since he's been at the gym, everybody from Senior to Junior and everybody in between think that they have discovered a possible Hall of Famer. Me as his father, I'm going to be cautious, but that is how everybody surrounding them so far feels.
Man, that's an amazing story. That's an amazing story. And you know what I'm saying? The way you broke it down, it sounds like it just happened, like it's just something that's happening. But that young man has been putting in work for some years now to get where he is right now. So I'm excited for him and everything that's coming up in his future. But one thing that you said is that you broke down the mechanics. You know, you told him, like, it's not just going to happen overnight. We got to do the little things. We got to start with the push-ups. And we got to start, you know, with the different techniques that you need to train. How was that getting, you know, a 5-year-old to understand that you have to do the little things? How does that understand, like, how did that, you know, start at him when he was 5?
Well, you know what, if you guys would allow, I'm glad you asked me that. And I would like to say this for anybody who is a upcoming parent thinking about being a parent or has a child, let's say under 3 years old, there's one mistake that I believe is human, especially Black Americans, that we make. You know, there's always the phrases of let kids be kids, or they say kids are going to be what they're going to be. And that is a very lazy comment. I raised my kids from the time I knew they were in the stomach. I was looking forward to having children. That is something that we have to remember, that when we decide to have sex, you know, be in relationships and do all those other fun things, that the rest of your life can come from that. We don't need to be parenting right when the first time they fall or the first time they get in trouble in school. We need to teach them more than just hello, please, thank you. You know, go brush your teeth, wash up, how to, you know, wipe your private areas, things, you know, just as everybody just teaches the basics, and they let kids grow until they're damn near young adults. And then they start either coming down on them or, but we pretty much let kids raise themselves. When I believe that since it's your child, it's going to be your dollar, it's your time that you have to put into it. If you love your child, then you raise them from day one. And you have the patience through the crying, through the times where they do the same thing 50, 100, 200 times, no matter how many times you say it, because all of those will come to an end. I didn't start that at 8, 9, 10. He's only 9 and a half now. Since the day he came out of the womb, just like in our roots, of course, I opened the sun, opened the blinds, held him to the sun, let him know there's only one thing greater than him. And I've talked to him that way and have been hard on him. And also I spoil and I discipline the exact same. He is spoiled to death, and if you mess up, he gets a 19, 50, 60, 70 kind of discipline. I was raised by my grandmother in California on Crenshaw. I'm from that old vibe. So we talked, and we went through everything day after day after day. He just developed. By the time he was 5, he had the mentality of what I would say is a 10 or 11-year-old, but he didn't know it. It wasn't that, you know, he was advanced. It was just literally I took every day. There's not a day that I don't hug him, don't stare him deep in his eyes, from motivation to when he messes up. You know, I don't blow smoke. I don't tell him that he's good at something he isn't. So when he knows that he is good at something, he can believe it. So I just, for me, I have 3 children, and all 3 of them are fighters. The 8-year-old sister and the 5-year-old is probably our toughest in the family, period, because he follows after everybody else. But we believe in this household to start being a parent from day one, not just, oh, they're so cute, and just being a fan, but actually being a parent from the start. So, because that 0 to 7, and samurais believe by the age 12. So between 7 and 12, those years is when you're going to make who they are. And if we really believe that, then it starts at day one when they're crying and don't even understand what you're saying. So when the words become normal to their mind and They understand and can react the same way you teach them how to say hello. You can teach them how to be a great person. So he doesn't understand why he is the way he is because it started from day one. And that's what we need to do as parents, or we need to start ASAP. Whatever time it is, we need to realize that anything we complain about in our children is actually our fault because we were letting them have fun when we could have let them have fun, let them learn life. Because they're going to be older longer than they're younger. And that's a fact.
Definitely, man. That everything you just said is pretty much breaking down how we can end the cycle. You just dropped some mad gems, man. Definitely just dropped some mad gems because we have to end that cycle. We have to break that cycle. That's why we keep having, you know, mass incarceration. That's why we keep having this drug epidemic and everything like that, because we're continuously, you know, allowing the cycle to go on and on and on. But everything you just said is definitely just saying, like, yo, this is how you break it. This is how, you know, you stop it. This is how, you know, you get into your child and you understand what your child wants to do and how your child wants to live their life and how you can help them live their life and guide them in the right direction. So definitely shout out to you and your whole family, man. I did not know you had three fighters. I did not know that you had three fighters. So that is big right there. And you said you had a woman fighter too as well, your daughter?
Yes, yes. She's 8 years old. She's 1 year. She is, they're both cancers. He's June, she's July, but they're basically 1 year apart, 08, 09 born.
Awesome, man.
And they were born with a specific grit. You know, their mother did Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu growing up. I was into MMA before it had a name, you know, because that, before it was mixed martial arts, we were grappling because I was grew up around a lot of FOI, a lot of Muslims as a child, and I got that kind of black military, militant martial art kind of training. I wasn't necessarily a boxer myself, but that was because of lack of knowledge. But as soon as I got it, it became very easy. And so, of course, having a son, I passed it on. That's what I, because I'm actually a musician by trade, but I decided to pass my secret side to my child and let that part be known. And just to make sure in this day and age, young black male, and let alone they're not, you know, they're light skinned, they're curly headed, even though both parents are black, but with their appearance. And I wanted them to be prepared in this world because look at the president we had. He was born, Obama was president, but where we're at now, I don't regret anything that I've done because there's no telling where we're going in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
And
I want him to be able to take care of himself. The world doesn't guarantee anything. And it's something that we have to train our kids before they know what fear is, because it can be damn near impossible to train somebody to protect themselves if you let fear become something they're familiar with first.
Definitely. And I want to ask you this question too. How would you say breaking down the difference between fighting, like professional fighting, amateur fighting, and actual violence, like how would you say to break that down to a child, or how did you actually break down that down to your child? Because I know you're there every day when he's in the gym. So how do you break it down to this is fighting, this is professional fighting, but this is actually violence, what you see on TV sometimes,
yes,
you know, what you experience, you know, with police brutality and things like that. Like, how do you distinguish the two for your child or your children?
Well, the thing is, I gave him very, very scary examples from things that were already on the TV. And I let him know that there are people who are beautiful, innocent, don't do anything to anybody, and just get picked out either by random, by race, because of who they're walking with or whatever. So what we've done, and I let him know that no parent ever thought that anything would happen to their child. For every winner, there's a loser. And the thing is, first of all, we will only be a winner if somebody messes with us. We will never in life start a situation with anybody. That's the first thing. But if somebody messes with you or you're forced to protect yourself, you have to be in the condition too, because when people back down or are nervous, some people get more excited because people don't really want a competitive fight. They're bullies. That's why they're doing this predatorial style attack anyway, because people who are combative or look at it as sport or need a place to take aggression but don't want to take it out, they go to a gym. They automatically want to try it on that level. So it was the first thing of just the conditions of the world without scaring him, because he also looked at his father. I'm 38 at this point, but you know, each year letting him know that I've made it here. So obviously it's not impossible and it's not scary when you are ready and can handle whatever comes. But, you know, it's very easy to assume that your child will be like you. We all do that if we have a positive. We just assume and then get disappointed if they're not down the line. I just want to make sure that he understood that you can be the nicest, and that will not stop anybody from still being that asshole or negative or mean person to you or trying to violate you. So once again, he was literally scared of that conversation multiple times. But we would do push-ups. We would hit the pads. And it wasn't about, oh, you being a professional fighter, anything. It was about you being able to walk around in this world and take care of yourself. And then so that's the answer to violence. Then the difference between fighting and skill. You know, just anybody listening, especially from a place like Philly with fighters like Kevin, they all know the difference between somebody headhunting and somebody who just has a simple jab alone. Somebody who actually runs for the cardio to have the lungs if you meet your match, and he can take punches the way you can, or he can give them better, or he can take them better than you can give them. What do you do after 90 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Anybody who can outlast 2-3 minutes, who can actually, even if you're not better than a street fighter, if you're trained in a gym, you'll win that if you can withstand him, because you'll be out of breath. He doesn't live the lifestyle of somebody who actually has the honor of putting yourself through it. A lot of tough guys are lazy tough. We sit around with guns, blunts, beer, and we talk all that shit like, motherfucker better not kick me, or I'll shoot him if they kick me, or hit me like that, and I'm gonna kill him. When other people just say, that's basically 1,000 ways of saying, I am scared.
Scared.
You know, I am scared. I'm scared. But my true thing is, if you're truly scared, then you protect yourself. You're scared, go to the gym. I think scared is one of the best tactics to keep you alive and safe on earth. So I preach fear to stay high alert.
I'm with you on that one, man. I say run towards your fears each and every day, man. Running towards those fears, you can overcome. You can see yourself doing things you never thought you could actually do. And that's one thing that King Maxie is doing right now. He is teaching people in a different way, like how to stay hydrated when you're doing everything that you're doing with the eye drink, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
So I want to jump in. And that
right there, that combination, I'm sorry, if I interrupted at the same time, but that sponsorship, it was something that happened organic, very coincidentally, but it was obviously meant to be. I was amongst a bunch of health products, and their bottles stood out. And I grabbed it on my own, and we went to the gym with it, gave it a try. I tasted it first because there was about 3 bottles there. Took all 3. I drank the first one myself. I said, son, try this. We went to the gym. We posted it that day. And from that post and then replying, we started a relationship the old-fashioned way. And after they started watching, they started paying attention to his effort. And then, you know, the DM start of, what kind of, would you guys allow us to give you a supply? And it's, of course, it's almost like a redundant question, please. And that's what started off with the water, then the larger cases of water, before we had ever even had a meeting. Then it was, we have to meet. And everything that has come from that meeting, I would say that, Lord willing, you know, some things will stay under wraps, but I can see this water going to the heights of Gatorade because of what's behind it. They like to say they're not a beverage company, they're a technology company. And they were looking for athletes in general. And when they realize they found somebody who's under 10, they look forward to the next 5, 10, 15 years to show an athlete who was raised on their product as the number one example of what it does. Because it has nanonutrients. It has all the vitamins, but you taste nothing. You taste nothing at all, but it has everything we need. Like, as a family, we don't drink any other water, not just because of the sponsorship now. So we sold me on the science and the health behind it, because we're health nuts. You know, we're not vegetarians. We don't deprive ourselves, but there's a certain level of vegetable, fruits, and vitamins and water and juice that is taken in every day in this family. And they have sold me, and I believe that over time we will sell the world on this. But we all didn't know each other prior to 4 months ago. But I have a feeling that we will know each other end of our days, basically.
No doubt.
From the combination that it's already started.
No doubt. And y'all got to get some of that water over here on the East Coast. How we can find that water on the East Coast, man. I appreciate you guys coming on. But I do want to ask King Maxi one last thing before we wrap up. I just want to ask him about.
And before we go, I will, me and you will email each other, and I'll get you a case out there to you.
Perfect. Hey, I'm appreciating that, man. Definitely going to share all right, with all my guests.
And here's King. Thank you. I had such a great time on your show. Shout out to everybody. And thank you very much. And we look forward to being on here as often as you guys want us. All right?
No doubt. I love your passion, man. I got to talk to you on and off air a couple times.
That's right. Thank you. Well, here he is one last time. You guys have a great one.
No doubt. Yo, King, I just wanted to ask you, how does that water taste? I just wanted to hear it in your voice. How does that water taste, and how much do you actually love that I drink?
I really do love the I drink. I don't taste anything, but it's really tasty.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you, King, coming on the Revive platform today, man. I wish you many, 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 many blessings in your future endeavors. I know you're going to be the champ, man. I know for a fact you're going to be the champ, and I know you're going to do exactly what you need to do. And I want to speak to your dad one last time.
Okay.
Yep.
I just want you guys to go ahead and introduce yourself one last time. Give yourself a shout out. How do people can find you? How do people can find more about your son and that I drink?
Yes. Okay. First, Instagram is Young King Maxi. Maxi, M-A-X-E-Y. Young King Maxi. Please follow his journey, guys. I promise you will see the most motivational, hardworking kid you've ever seen working out. Ever. No drama, not putting 20 on stand. You can find me at King Law. That's L-A-W-H. K-I-N-G-L-A-W-H. King Law. And I drink is I drink beverages. Just like it sounds. I drink. I-D-R-I-N-K. Come follow us all, man. Support us. Watch the journey. Follow us to the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. We plan to change the world, God.
No doubt.
Who came back? Guaranteed.
King Maxi, man. I appreciate that once again. Man, I'm going to definitely stay in touch with you guys, and I wish you many blessings on your future endeavors. And I already know you guys are going to have a great week. Have a good one.
And same thing to you.
All right. That just wrapped up another great interview with King Maxi coming out of Las Vegas, signed by Floyd Mayweather Sr., doing it big in the boxing world. He's an amateur boxing now, but just know coming out. Man, just know, coming in the future, this professional young man, he's going to do his thing. He's going to be a professional boxer. And I feel like he's going to knock Floyd out, for real, man. He keep drinking that I drink, man. Shout out to I drink for sponsoring that young man and giving him a chance and an opportunity. It's me, your girl, POC. We're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode, this Sunday edition of Revive, man. Once again, we reviving your airways each and every week, every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We got that good Sunday morning talk radio. And you already know we winning each and every Wednesday here on Revive Radio. But I do have to make a PSA. We are not going live this week coming up. We will be off this week coming up. I'll be off Wednesday. I'll be in the city of Miami, Florida. Also on Sunday, we'll be off too because I'll be in the DMV area. I'll be playing my first celebrity basketball game next Saturday, January 20th. Make sure you guys come through, show love, the Be Legendary event. That information is on my Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Revive_POC. Pull up on me. Watch me come drop some buckets, man. Come watch me drop some buckets, man. They think I don't got it no more. Just know I got it. This left hand about to pull a couple threes, spin around the back between the legs, right, Tab? You understand? You my biggest chili. Tab gonna have the pom-poms ready. All that, man. Just know we going live this Saturday. Also, I'm gonna be making some dope moves down in Miami, Florida this week, so make sure you guys stay tuned to that. Watch that timeline. Coming with it vengeance, man. Savage. Straight savage with it. Shout out to Tab Money for coming in the studio today, man. Tab, go ahead and close out with some words for the people.
Man, I'm going to just say get some rest because I'm in the studio fall asleep. Like, y'all don't even know it. Like, get some rest. The acupuncture told me get some rest or I'm going to have a horrible, horrible menopause. So all you ladies out there that's grinding, entrepreneurs, queens, melanated queens, I already know y'all putting in that work because I'm putting it in too. Get you the proper sleep. The Grind Nation team say we need 56 hours every week. So make sure it's in there. Schedule it. Pencil the sleep in. And I don't got to be at night, but just get it in.
And Harmony, the goddess, man. Go ahead and tell them people how you can lay some imprints on them.
Yes, definitely. So this is Harmony, the goddess, the walk, a.k.a. the walking incense, a.k.a. your soul food, not eye candy. But you can definitely follow me at at Harmony the Goddess. And I just spread love, spread light, and just remember to live in peace, not pieces.
Definitely live in peace. And remember, greatness is a choice. And just like King Maxie just said, man, run towards your fears each and every day. Every 24, max out AM to the PM, 365, 24-7. No naps. Stop talking about here, man. Get some rest, man. No naps. Come cop this Russell Brand gear. No naps, man. You already know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl PLC. I'll be live tomorrow on DG Radio, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'm reviving your airwaves each and every Monday on DG Radio. Make sure you guys stay tuned. It's Meet Your Girl PLC. And remember, I will not be live on Time for the Awakening at all this week. So I thank you guys. I appreciate your support. Stay locked to me on Revive. Meet Your Girl PLC.